Big topics, big ideas, big sky. Montana Talks.
You know, this talk about the climate alarmist agenda and the radical environmental groups also reminds us of these activist left-wing judges and justices and wannabe justices on the Montana Supreme Court. I think it was a former GOP chairman, former Montana Senate Majority Leader Jeff Essman had a great guest opinion column in the Billings Gazette a few days ago with this headline, "Say No to an Activist Supreme Court." And this is actually a really good reminder, as polling shows that even Americans in the big cities, like the whole climate alarmist agenda, is falling off their radar. Bill Gates does this, you know, practically a 180, saying, well, you know what, actually it's not going to lead to the end of our existence. Sorry. Sorry, not sorry. I'm still going to keep trying to profit off of this whole climate alarmist scam. But, you know, hey, it's not going to lead to the end of the world after all. It's a safe world after all. You know, you could replay the Disney song, "It's a Small World After All." But the world's not going to end after all because of climate change. Not to say it couldn't end because of something else. But anyway, let's go into the phone lines. We've got Tom in Billings. Tom, what's on your mind? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, Aaron and Montana family. I just want to give you a little update on Flip Top Flat Top John Tester. He's teamed up with Maritza Giorgio on podcast number 276, and they bring people on like, Pete Buttigieg and Cory Booker. We all know him for the filibuster.
Spartacus.
And all they're doing is talking about taking away public lands. They were both fired and part of Joe Biden's getting rid of people. And they bring on all sorts of people, you know, even like, let's see. She talks about bringing on Mark Roscoe.
Oh,
everybody loved Mark Roscoe in Montana.
The people in Butte are cussing right now. They're like, oh, I'll bet you people in Butte probably cuss every time they see or hear Mark Roscoe's name as a result of what happened to Montana Power. And the guy is a Joe Biden Democrat, but yet he still calls himself a Republican. And yeah, so
I know.
Isn't it funny that John Tester is doing his podcast with her, and she's acting, you know, and she's acting like this is so great, such a feat in journalism history to do a podcast with Flip Flop Flat Top, and it's like that John Jackson, who's going to join us in about an hour, he calls her the COVID queen because she was one of these journalists that was constantly running with the COVID-19 propaganda campaign, cheering on the lockdowns, cheering on the mandates that caused so much harm, of course, to kids and to this country in the process. But, I didn't even know they were still doing the podcast. I knew they released a few episodes, but you just never hear anything about it. By the way, Tester's former intern called out the whole public lands thing and said that that's why they lost, basically.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with high temperature readings sustained from around 53 in Bozeman to near 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Overnight lows will trend back in the mid and upper 30s. Isolated showers Wednesday, along with some partial sun, mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. It's World Antimicrobial Awareness Week. The World Health Organization says antimicrobial resistance happens when bacteria, viruses, fungi, and parasites no longer respond to antimicrobial agents. Because of that drug resistance, antibiotics and other medicines become ineffective, and infections become tough or impossible to beat. That means an increased risk of disease spread, severe illness, and death. This year's global campaign theme is Act Now, Protect Our Present, Secure Our Future. And it underscores the need to take bold, united action to address the problem. problem because it harms health, food systems, the environment, and economies. WHO says this call to action urges all stakeholders, including governments, society, healthcare providers, veterinarians, farmers, and political commitments into tangible and life-saving interventions to keep antimicrobials effective and build a healthier, more sustainable world. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Well, thanks for the phone call to Tom in Billings. That totally reminds me here of a story that I wrote about 18, 20 days ago or so. I had to go back into our Montana Talks archives here. So Tom was talking about this left-wing podcast that a former Montana TV reporter is doing with Flip-Flop Flat Top, John Tester, who does not want to go into retirement, even though he watched the entire Montana Democrat Party burn down all around him, and he used the party to prop himself up, and then he still lost the 2018 Senate race. He is still trying to be the puppet master of the Montana Democrat Party. And the point that I forgot to share in the 6 o'clock hour of the show was that the guy that John Tester had installed, not the guy who was elected to be the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party, John Tester had him thrown out because he criticized John Tester for losing the 2024 U.S. Senate race. The guy that John Tester replaced him with, see, the party that shrieks and shrills about democracy, nah. John Tester didn't like something that the elected vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party said, so John Tester had him removed and then put one of his cronies in instead. The guy that is now the vice chair of the Montana Democrat Party is the guy who abused his position of power as a government official and politically targeted our friend George Blackard. Now, you guys know George Blacker's now pretty outspoken politically when he joins us on the show. But back then, 10-plus years ago, George was just a veteran standing up for other veterans and raising questions about the problems inside the VA, especially under the Obama years. And John Tester's staff did not like that because John Tester was on the VA committee. And John Tester was boys with Obama and Biden. And even though they were failing our veterans, John Tester did not want them questioned. And so this Bruce Knudsen guy literally targeted our friend George Blackard. I mean, that's the guy. Somebody corrupt like that is who the Democrats now have in charge of their as the vice chair of their party. I mean, what a disgrace. Let's see here. But yeah, Tom's call reminds me. So they're still going on and on about the whole public lands thing. Look, Democrats are the ones that are constantly trying to take away your access to public lands. Democrats are the ones that are constantly shutting down roads, shutting down access trails. Heck, this phony backcountry hunters and anglers group, they didn't even want motorboats to be able to access Flathead Lake from the river near Big Fork. I mean, oh, but they claim that they're the champions for access. Get the freak out of here. They're a bunch of radical environmentalists. They're green decoys that wear, you know, orange vests to mask their green radical environmentalist roots. But what Tom's call reminded me of was, so a guy who was an intern on John Tester's campaign last year wrote a piece for a left-wing publication called The Nation. And with regard to the, you know, the Democrats and Spartacus still trying to go after Republicans on public lands when it's the Democrats that are the ones that are constantly trying to take away your access. He basically exposed an event, a public lands in public hands rally that the tester campaign staged back in 2024. The campaign bragged on social media that all of these Billings, Montana residents came out to the rally. And then the tester intern says this, "In truth, though, there were almost no real Billings residents at the protest. Among the 30 people who showed up were at least 20 tester campaign staffers from all over the country and a few interns, myself included. My job that week had been to recruit local Montanan protesters. Though our campaign argued that Tester was the authentic Montana candidate, maybe five actual Montanans showed up." And then basically the guy then later makes the point on how the Democrats were using the same old, tired, worn-out rhetoric like public lands in public hands, and nobody was buying it. See, you can only get away with it for so long. And I think what the public started to realize about public lands and public hands is that these are the same radical environmentalists that are constantly shutting down our access to so-called public lands. It's the Democrats that take away your access. And so, anyway, people just stop falling for their phony BS. But yet, here they go, you know, still trotting that same party line that failed so miserably last year. Okay, what's up with the internet issues this morning? Yeah, the Fox News update at the top of the hour apparently identified it. But even before the Fox News update, looks like we were getting messages on the Montana Talks app. We had Jason and Billings tell us that, you know, if you're having trouble accessing X or some other internet news websites this morning, the Cloudflare networks are down. It's a worldwide issue. Man, could you imagine John Jackson if he couldn't access X? Oh, man, like that guy lives on X. That's why he always has such great information when he joins us on the show. Violet and Kalispell said the same thing. And then I thought there was one other message that we – oh, yeah. Harv in Dillon. Wow, very cool. I didn't know Harv was listening in Dillon. That's cool. What a great guy. Harv says this, downdetector.com. Looks like many sites are reporting issues. So there you go. Okay, let's see. Phone lines are open for you, 406-294-0970. Where should we go next? We've got new information on the Butler assassin, the they-them that tried to kill President Trump. Nicolai Maduro, is it his swan song from the socialist state of Venezuela? You tell us, what should we talk about next?
Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. There's now an extra step to buying a handgun in Delaware. A new law is now on the books after a judge declines to restrain it pending a court battle. That requires anyone looking to buy a handgun in Delaware to first obtain a purchasing permit. That law passed along party lines in the Delaware state legislature, where Democrats hold the majority. But what many might find interesting is that despite this requirement of a purchasing permit, the state does not require permits for ownership of handguns or for openly carrying them, only to conceal carry. But at least for now in Delaware, to buy a gun, you need a permit. And to get the permit, you need to pass a background check, get fingerprinted, and complete a safety course. Second Amendment groups are suing over the law, claiming it's unconstitutional. A court recently ruled Delaware's law disallowing adults ages 18 to 20 from buying guns is out of bounds. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
Well, I said wait till Monday, but in reality, I had no idea that the Missoulian was going to print this crazy story over the weekend. Yeah, the Missoulian ran a story where they were blaming your pets for climate change. One crazy story after another. We almost expect it at this point, don't we? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, we talked about that story and so much more on Monday. What are we going to talk about on Tuesday? Well, why don't you tell us? Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk and be heard statewide.
Mom's early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
And when I left the oven on, we decided together that it was time to see a doctor and make a plan.
Early detection gave us more time to seek out information and support as a family.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana Talks at.
with Lane Nordlund.
The Trump administration yesterday rolled out a new proposal to redefine the Waters of the U.S. or WOTUS rule. Nicole Rolfe with the Montana Farm Bureau.
We are very excited to have the new rule out for us to be able to digest. As you know, this rule has been a constant back and forth for over 10 years now. And we're hoping to see a rule that actually provides farmers and ranchers with clean water and clear rules. And we believe that this is going to do that by truly narrowing the federal government's jurisdictional authority over private property and bringing the rule more in line with Sackett and the Clean Water Act.
The new WOTUS proposal aligns federal water regulations with the Supreme Court's Sackett v. EPA decision, which narrows federal authority under the Clean Water Act to wetlands with a continuous surface connection to a relatively permanent body of water. Since 2015, four major rules have tried to define waters of the U.S.
There's been a number of attempts at either expanding the definition of what a navigable water is through legislation, and then with the agency itself changing the rule multiple times, we've seen an expansion of federal authority. And in some iterations, our organization has fought back really hard to give a voice to farmers and ranchers.
Definitely a topic that will be discussed in Missoula this week during the Farm Bureau's state convention. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. You can also send us a message on the app. I sent out a question. I said, hey, what should we talk about next? We've got a message on the app. We've got a caller on the phone lines. Tim and Savage wants to talk about the Butler shooter. Okay, don't let me forget about that one. I'll try to get to that one next. But first, let's go to the phone lines. We've got Mike in Big Timber. Mike, great to hear from you. What's on your mind here on this, what is it, Tuesday already?
Yes, it is Tuesday already. Good morning, Aaron. Can you explain the latest unemployment numbers that just came out on the top of the hour news?
Dang. I missed it because actually it was Caden who was, I think I was making coffee or something. Usually I listen on the app so I can hear the news. See, this is what happens when I don't listen to the app when I go get coffee. But Caden was the one who flagged the Cloudflare story. He's like, oh, they just mentioned it on Fox. What's going on with the computers? But so recap for me. What did they say about the jobs numbers?
Well, it was usually it's a continuous thing that they bring out every week, but the first time unemployment claims rose to almost 250,000 and the continuous claims rose to almost 2 million. Now, I really can't fathom that. Someone needs to explain to me how much unemployment there is out there or where these numbers are coming from. I don't get it. There must be an awful lot of people out of work.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't heard those numbers yet or to give it insight. You know, from a Montana perspective, I don't know if you heard the conversation with Mike Rowe and the governor last week, but...
Yes, I did.
I thought what the governor said about the fact when in this 406 jobs report that the State Department of Labor put out, that was very interesting. 100,000 people... in Montana, working age adults, able to work, you know, we're not talking about folks that have disabilities that can't work. We're talking about 100,000, six figures, working age folks that could be working that aren't for various reasons. So how do we integrate them into the workforce is what the governor is now saying we've got to do next after getting this 406 jobs report. And I think what stood out to you from what Mike Rowe and the governor had to say about that topic or anything else, frankly?
Well, the one that you referred to after that conversation was when someone asked, where are these workers? He said they're in the eighth grade.
Yeah, that was powerful, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. The thing I want somebody to explain to me, when you file for unemployment, you're getting paid. I mean, the states or wherever, you know, you're filing this, you're getting paid. There's money that has to be paid to these people, and that must put a burden on all of the states, you know, regardless of, what state it is, blue or red. I can't fathom. Every time they bring out these numbers, they're almost the same, but they're constantly rising. They're going up. So people are just I don't know, Aaron, are just sitting on their duff not wanting to work. I mean, I'm 78 years old, and I can't wait to go to work for
crying
out loud.
You're 78. Holy cow. I was going to say, I've run into you recently, and you do not look 78. That's that Navy background keeping you fit to fight, I'll bet.
The salt water does that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
Don't forget, you have to remember to talk about something.
The Butler story. Yeah, I've got that right in front of me here, so I hopefully don't forget. Back to this 406 jobs report, though. Back in early October, we did I moderated a panel discussion at the Montana Equipment Dealers Association, and 1 hour was on the radio, and then another hour was afterwards, and the radio show was over, but we kept the conversation going. And it was really interesting because State Representative Lou Jones was there, and he was talking about, you know, this trust account that they created. And anyway, it was an interesting conversation between him and Labor Department Commissioner Sarah Swanson because Lou Jones was saying how, look, we've got women that want to be working, but they can't afford childcare. And Sarah Swanson, she said, actually, I slightly disagree with you, and here's why. She says, we have – first off, I think it begs the question, how many young moms aren't working, and frankly – don't want to be working. They want to be home with their kids. The only reason why they may feel like they have to go back to work is because of the unaffordability that Joe Biden and John Tester created. So that's point one. So my point is, we need to make things more affordable so that if a mom wants to be home with her kids, she can stay home with her kids and she doesn't feel the pressure to go back to work, and then probably couldn't anyway because of the high cost of childcare. But Sarah made a really interesting point. She said, actually, I would disagree. The bigger workforce that we have available right now, and Mike, if you can, I got the Fox News update here in about 30 seconds, but I'd love to get your feedback on this if you want. She says we've got 50,000 basically former inmates who've got a record, but they did their time, and now they're back out on the streets, and we need to put them to work. And she said that's actually one of the biggest opportunities and one of the biggest challenges facing Montana. So, I'd love to get your take on that if you can. Stand by, Mike. We'll come back to you here in 60 seconds, and then I'll get to the and Savage that wanted to talk and hear about the Butler assassin or attempted assassin story. There you go. That's the big headline. Another they-them shooter. How many of these they-them shooters have we had here, these pronoun-focused crazed gunman. There you go. Another one. We'll get into that story a little bit more here. Mike and Big Timber, were you able to stick around?
Yes, I'm still with you, sir.
All right. So what's your take? Okay. On this 406 jobs and like, hey, 50,000 former, inmates that we could put to work. It seems like, we need to get those men back to work, leading productive, lives so that they'd, don't face the temptation to go back to a life of crime. And we've got a lot of jobs in Montana that need to be filled.
Well, are they receiving any kind of incentive during their incarceration to go back to work? Are they being, counseled and to get them off of, being criminals to leading a life of crime? That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're just shut up in their cells and they're becoming better criminals by intermingling with the other, prison population. 50,000, that's a huge number.
Isn't
right?
that massive?
Where did you hear that again?
Sarah Swanson, the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Industry, if I remember right. I'll have to double check with her, but that's the number that I remember. But because I remember it triggered a thought for me, which was, okay, some people would say, well, we need government-subsidized daycare so that moms can go back to work. And it's like, well, what if a mom doesn't want to go back to work? You're spending government money to make it more expensive for families. And you know what I'm saying? Like, do we want to – or why don't we just stop spending so much government money so that things are more affordable so that if a mom doesn't want to go back to work and wants to stay home with her young kids, she can. Right? But it's like, we're going to spend more government money to subsidize daycare, to make things more expensive, to force women back into the workforce. And it's just like, but we've got all these prison inmates, these men that need to be put to work, and maybe people are reluctant to hire them or whatever, but it's just just like, huh, let's force moms away from their kids, but you know, leave the inmates out there, you know, the former inmates out there just flailing in the wind and more likely to go back to a life of crime. I just thought it was such a brilliant point she made.
Well, don't you think that the fact that the nuclear family is being broken up in all ways, the last thing you want is your mom out there, the kids by themselves. That's where they get in trouble.
And then why do we have so many former inmates or inmates and men going into lives of crime? You know, it goes back to family issues. Even Barack Hussein Obama talked about that, right? But if you said the same thing, you're a racist.
Absolutely. Oh, don't forget the Butler story. Thanks for taking my call.
I won't forget. All right, Mike, thank you. All right, I'll get to the Butler story right after this in a little bit more depth here. Miranda Devine has the best commentary on the latest information that came out regarding the Trump attempted assassin and how the FBI director under Biden straight up lied to the American people.
This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
People are still talking about the New Jersey governor's race, asking how much of a factor was Donald Trump? While the president didn't campaign in person with Jack Cittorelli, the Republican candidate embraced Trump. The problem is a majority of New Jersey voters disapprove of Trump's job performance. Plus, two-thirds said they were unhappy with how things were going in the country today. And most of them backed governor-elect Democrat Mikey Sherrill. And while about 1 in 10 said their vote for governor was to show support for Trump, nearly four times as many were expressing their opposition to the president. Simple math was also a factor for Sherrill, as many more Garden Staters identify as Democrats than Republicans. It also helped that Sherrill was better liked. 56% of New Jersey voters hold a favorable opinion of her. That's 45% for Cittorelli. You can see all the results from our New Jersey voter poll at foxnews.com/poll. I'm Dana Blanton, and that's your Poll Parade.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, Andy in Broadview, Big Jim in Waukeno, Illinois. Both of you, please stay on the phone lines because we want to hear from you. But I do got to get to this Butler story here as well. Another they-them shooter. That's really the big story here. That combined with the fact that, oh, I don't know, the head of the FBI under Joe Biden lied to the American people. First off, let's see. Crayon Eater is the nickname here. Sent us a message on the Montana Talks app, a listener in Billings. What? The Biden administration lied to the American people? Shut the front door. You're pulling my lariat. LOL. New details, and I'm not going to say the guy's names. New details about the they-them, the man who attempted to assassinate Donald Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania in July 2024, now raising serious questions about whether the FBI missed red flags leading up to the shooting. The New York Post's Miranda Devine reporting that a source reviewed 17 social media accounts tied to crooks, revealing an extensive online footprint the feds have not openly discussed. The source found the shooter posted years of violent rhetoric online and flipped from pro-Trump in his early years to openly anti-Trump in the months leading up to the attack. Here is Miranda Devine. This was from Fox and Friends earlier this morning, and I think Miranda Devine was on Jesse Waters' show last night.
So why did we not get the full story from Biden's FBI?
Look, I think that's a very good question, and it's one that I ask, and I think that all of America is asking. Certainly, Donald Trump is not satisfied with the answers that he's been getting, I understand, and those close to him. And Senator Ron Johnson has had to subpoena Donald Trump's FBI to get more information about the assassination attempt. So now we find out from a source that there is actually voluminous material material that gives us an inkling about the trajectory that Thomas Crooks took to become a 20-year-old assassin. And it's not what the FBI had told us. You played Paul Abate, the then deputy director of the FBI, telling Congress just 2 weeks after the Butler assassination attempt, just one half of the story. He lied by omission because he left out the part of the story where Thomas Crooks flipped in January 2020. He went from being rabidly pro-Trump to being rabidly anti-Trump. And I'm not sure why Paul Abate wanted to mislead by omission.
Oh, she does. You're sure. But I know I get where she's coming from there with the play on words. But yeah, that's the key part of this story is basically, and the Federalist.com has a piece this morning as well. The FBI under Biden appears to have knowingly lied to Congress, misled the American people, and at best was negligent in its duty to track the attempted assassin after he reportedly made numerous statements about committing political violence and assassinations. And then, let's see, and then the other angle where it starts to get a little fuzzy, I mean furry here, the other angle is this, is that yet here we go again, another they-them shooter. So the assassin grew under the Biden years to openly hate Trump and called for terrorism-style attacks and assassinations. He also seemingly became involved with furry fetish platforms, often a sexual deviancy associated closely with gender ideology. Furry fetishes and transgender ideology are more and more common among those who commit left-wing violence, and the person who allegedly assassinated Charlie Kirk in September was apparently immersed in both. All right, into the phone lines we go, 406-294-0970. Andy in Broadview, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Well, I was listening to your show yesterday, and you're talking about the story out of Missoula, I think it was, about the carbon pop print pets.
Yeah. They're blaming your pets for climate change.
I was just wondering, does that all of a sudden make Kristi Noem a liberal hero?
Well, you know, yeah, I mean, you could take your animal to the, to the gas chamber at your local animal shelter, or, you know, you do what country folks do, right? But, yeah, that's a pretty funny line, yeah.
Oh, man. That just occurred to me as I was listening yesterday, and I just thought I got to call in and ask the question.
So I kind of want to share this video, but we've got this, like, you could almost describe it as a pocket beagle because it's a tiny beagle. I think we got it from the shelter, so she was, you know, probably a blend of something else. But so she's this tiny beagle, and she's just staring up at me. And so I started shaming her on climate change. I said, "You're the reason for climate change. It's your fault. You need to apologize for climate change." And she just looked up at me with these sweet eyes, wagging her tail. She had no idea what the Missoulian was even talking about. So everybody should be pet shaming their dogs right now and sharing the videos online.
Yeah, I've heard of the problem with the whole climate change. They don't realize that it's a cycle, a carbon cycle. If you kill off the critters, then the dead body is going to release the carbon that it's been storing. So yeah.
Well, and it's just crazy too, because, you know, these are the same people that want to add a bunch more bison on the prairies, and they want to kick the ranchers off. You know, that's another tactic that they're using. And it's like, you realize those things emit carbon as well, right? No, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. All right, Andy, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. We got another caller on the phone lines to get to here as well. We got Big Jim calling in from all the way out in Illinois, but I think Big Jim also goes back and forth here in Montana. He goes way back here in Montana, so it's so fun that he's able to listen in via the Montana. Oh, we lost Big Jim. Okay, all right. Well, Big Jim, call back in. We got time for you right now, because once John Jackson, the Joker from X, joins us in the next hour of the show, it's going to start moving very quickly. We have a ton of fun. So that'll be coming up here. All right, Butler What else should we get to here? Nicolai Maduro, his socialist swan song. I'm going to save that one for John Jackson because he's our terp. He's our Tajiman. He's the guy who will give us the Spanish language translation on this one. Nicolai Maduro is singing for peace. He really is afraid of that aircraft carrier out there off the shores of Venezuela. So is it his socialist swan song? You tell me. Let's see. God, what was the other story? Yeah, we got to talk about Nigeria and the radical Islamists slaughtering Christians in Nigeria. Actually, let's just jump right into that one here. We got a couple of minutes here before the next break. 25 schoolgirls kidnapped amid growing violence. And not just growing violence. This is deliberate. These are radical Islamists that are slaughtering Christians in Nigeria and targeting schoolgirls. They basically gunned down the teacher, and then they abducted 25 schoolgirls in Nigeria. Apparently, one student escaped. She fled through forests and arrived home late Monday, hours after the kidnapping at the Government Girls Comprehensive Secondary School. The principal also said that another student who was not among the 25 confirmed abducted escaped shortly after the attack. Let's see, who had the story here? This was on, I know it was on Fox News last night. Actually, it might have been Fox and Friends first had this one. Very interesting guest. So, Nicki Minaj, you guys know the singer Nicki Minaj? You may not. She is actually going to be speaking at the UN, teaming up with the Trump administration to call out the slaughter of Christians in Nigeria.
Talk about this combination here. Today, rapper Nicki Minaj will speak alongside UN Ambassador Mike Waltz to address the targeted killings of Christians in Nigeria. The singer has praised the White House for taking action and thanked the White House for the chance to speak, writing, "I am so grateful to be entrusted with the opportunity of this magnitude. I do not take it for granted. It means more than you know." The Barbs, which is a nickname for her fan base, and I will never stand down in the face of injustice. We've been given our influenced by God, there must be a bigger purpose. Joining me now is research analyst for the Foundation of Defense of Democracies, Mariam Waba. Thank you so much for joining us. Before we get to Nicki Minaj, give us the backstory here and tell us what's happening when it comes to Christians in Nigeria.
Well, it's good to be with you this morning, Carly. Look, we're seeing the president really spotlight an issue that's been going on for decades now, the targeting of Christians, the persecution of Christians in Nigeria and really Africa writ large. What's happening in Nigeria is particularly interesting because the persecution falls into two main categories in my eyes.
All right, let's hold it right there. She's going to detail the persecution of Christians going on in Nigeria in particular. We'll get to that coming up here right after this break. And then we've got more time for your phone calls as well. 406-294-0970.
Fox Sports Update.
Hey, listen up. Hey, before we do all the celebration stuff, I'm so proud of you guys, man.
Amen.
Tough couple weeks. You guys made us proud. You guys made us proud, man.
Dallas Cowboys head coach Brian Schottenheimer in the locker room with his players just 11 days after the death of Cowboys 24-year-old defensive lineman Marshawn Kneeland, who took his own life. The Cowboys scored a galvanizing 33-16 win over the Raiders in Las Vegas.
Here's Lamb wide open, Fox in for the touchdown. End zone, touchdown Cowboys. Ferguson, Prescott able to step into it. It's got Pickens, good move. Nice cut back and a touchdown. Prescott, wide open, touchdown grab. This time, Flanoy.
On ABC at ESPN, Dak Prescott threw four touchdown passes in the Cowboys' 33-16 win against the Raiders. Dallas improved its record to 4-5-1. Las Vegas is now 2-8. The Jets are benching quarterback Justin Fields in favor of Tyrod Taylor. The Falcons are turning to Kirk Cousins, with Michael Penix Jr. possibly done for the season with a knee injury. Bengals receiver Jamar Chase is appealing a one-game suspension for spitting on Steelers defensive back Jalen Ramsey. NBA Monday, the Detroit Pistons won again, 10th in a row. Detroit improved its record to 12-2 with a 127-112 win over Indiana. The Pacers, who went seven games in the finals last season with Oklahoma City, have the worst record in the NBA, 1-13. The reigning champion Thunder, 14-1, after a 126-109 win over the Pelicans. Six straight wins for OKC. The Bulls snapped the Nuggets' seven-game win streak, 130-127. San Antonio Spurs star Victor Wembanyama is going to miss a few weeks because of a strained left calf muscle. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. A mix of clouds and sunshine develops today with high temperature readings sustained from around 53 in Bozeman to near 60 in the Billings area. For tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. Overnight lows will trend back in the mid and upper 30s. Isolated showers Wednesday, along with some partial sun, mid-40s in Bozeman, mid-50s in Billings. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Man, after 4 hours of the morning show, I was trying to remember, which hour did we do a deep dive into COP30 and the climate changey stuff out of Brazil? I think it was the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But then we touched on it again a little later in the morning. Either way, if you miss 1 second of Montana Talks, all the audio is on the Montana Talks app. Just click the on-demand button. Or you can also get Montana Talks podcast via Spotify as well. But best ways to get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, so back to this audio here. This was a Fox News report. I think it was from Fox and Friends First, which for those of us that get up even earlier than normal, the normal Fox and Friends starts at 4 o'clock in the morning Montana time. And Fox and Friends First is on even before then, which is when especially those of us here in radio land are already up and running. But, yeah, Nicki Minaj, the pop musician, rapper Nicki Minaj, is actually at the U.N. apparently later today alongside the Trump administration and U.N. Ambassador Mike Waltz, of course, a former Green Beret, a former member of Congress out of Florida, to put a spotlight on the Christians that are being slaughtered, the genocide of Christians in Nigeria, but not just Nigeria, really across Africa, on the targeting that you are seeing. And you notice you don't see any of these, you know, protesters on our college campuses highlighting actual genocide taking place. Instead, they focus on collateral damage inside of a war zone and radical Islamists using innocent children and women as human shields. But then they straight up ignore the systemic slaughter of Christians. The guest from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who was on, I think, Fox and Friends First, then goes into kind of giving a little bit more background on what is going on in Nigeria in particular.
You're seeing the classic Islamist that's talking about Boko Haram, ISIS, the Islamic State. And what's more interesting, what we're seeing the president and Ambassador Mike Waltz highlight is these Fulani herder militias that are targeting Christian farmers. And this is really where the spotlight lands on.
For religious reasons. They want to kill Christians because they're not Muslim. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I mean, there's, of course, some sectarian dynamics here. And you have the Fulani militant herders who are herders and Christians who are primarily farmers. And there are some conflicts when it comes to how these two ethnic and career different people who are doing different things and how they're interacting with each other. But we're seeing these Fulani herders militize, create militaries to attack Christians for their faith.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that the Trump administration is once again putting a spotlight on this and trying to bring this to a halt. President Trump, you might recall, basically took strong efforts in his first administration, put some, basically, I don't know if sanctions is the right word, but basically put some sanctions in place against Nigeria over the slaughter of Christians. And then, of course, Joe Biden takes office and removes those restrictions or those sanctions. I mean, just absolutely pathetic what the Biden regime did, not just to this country, but frankly did to the world. And Democrats like John Tester were with him every single step of the way. And by the way, fake phony Republicans like Mark Roscoe were with him every step of the way as well. We had a caller at the top of the hour mention that name, along with Spartacus, Corey Booker, and the rest of the crew. All right, we got a great hour coming up in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. It's Tuesday. John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house. We're taking your phone calls as well. Hey, let me tell you about a great veteran-owned business right here in Montana. In fact, if you are a journeyman plumber, if you are already working and certified as a journeyman plumber, and you want to work and live in the Red Lodge area, the Billings area, the Columbus area, hey, get a hold of our friends at High Caliber Plumbing. Ron Gunn, a veteran, he's the owner of High Caliber Plumbing, great family-owned business in the, you know, serving the Bridger, Red Lodge, Columbus areas. So if you're looking for a job and you want to live in that area, there you go. But also, if you're looking for emergency plumbing services, if you got some construction projects that need some plumbing work done, you're going to want to get a hold of High Caliber Plumbing. And then before the year is up, remember, they are officially certified to install the Rinnai tankless water heaters. And so there's a tax credit that goes away at the end of the year. So if you want that tankless water heater, get a hold of High Caliber Plumbing right now. HighCaliberPlumbing.com. Again, HighCaliberPlumbing.com.
Retirement is the long game. We can't play about our future or our finances. Let's put ourselves in the right position.
Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.